Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes.
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Say, we are talking about being a sign in God's presence. So first of all, I want to show you a few signs. I got some pictures of signs. You tell me what they mean, because even those of you who can't read, I bet you know what these signs mean. Maybe, not all of them, but this one I bet you do. What does this sign say? Stop. That's right. This sign means stop. That's right. And then there's signs. Yeah, this one, some signs, they don't actually say any words, but you know what they mean. So what does this sign mean?
A traffic light.
It means go, that's right.
It means go or stop or slow.
Well, that's what all three of them mean, yes, that's right. Although a lot of people think yellow means go real fast. Okay, and this one is a sign that sometimes you see. Anybody, you have to be a reader to know, what does that sign say? Keep out. So sometimes signs can say things like that. They say stay away, keep out, and sometimes for good reason.
Yeah.
It might be something that you got to stay away from.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have another one. What does this sign say? Yeah, it does. It represents Jesus. This is a sign.
Yeah.
Did you know that long ago, before Jesus, this was a sign that said, "The Romans are here and they keep order. And if you're not doing exactly what you should do, you'll get in big trouble." That's what it meant. And Jesus changed that.
It tells us the name of our church, too.
It tells us the name of our church. That's a good way. See, now, that same symbol that said to them, keep out, now means to us, God is here. Come. Isn't that cool? So we've changed that symbol to something else. Now, I mention this because we're talking about how we can be signs in God's presence. If this sign can mean stay away, keep order and don't do anything. That's what the Romans thought long, long time ago. Maybe today we can look and say, I too can be a new kind of sign, and I can be a sign as a gift of love and hope for God. And so each of us can do that. Now I want to give you an opportunity. This is the last thing, and parents, you need to hear this too, because I'm not going to pass them out yet. But we are, this sign says, save those school clothes. And we have a donation for school clothes for needy families. But you know what? If you want, you can bring a sign to your area or maybe knock on some doors of friends and relatives, neighbors that you know, with your parents. And you could even make extra signs and put a little bin on your porch at your house. And then people other than from our church can just go to your house and drop off some clothes that they can drop off at church. Wouldn't that be cool? And anybody else, if you'd like, you can do that too. We can have signs out in the community to raise awareness for this and bring this together. So just a thought of some way that we can do that. But now we're talking about being a sign. Can you guys pray with me? God of love, help us to be a sign of love to others. Open our hearts to reflect your presence in whatever storms we face. Amen. Okay, thank you for coming up. You got one coming around the corner there. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I got to tell you, at 2 p.m. yesterday afternoon, I deleted my sermon watching the news. I did. I kind of had a light tone to it, and it didn't feel like a light news day. And as I searched for how to prepare myself, because, and if you didn't know all of the stuff in Charlottesville, I can understand just keeping the news off for a day is sometimes nice, but it was a rough day. Protesters, counter-protesters clashing. I want to read to you, though, something that the ELCA had put together before the Charlottesville, Virginia issues that happened. They wrote this prayer because there was a group going out to stand against hatred, stand against bigotry. And I think it's a beautiful prayer, and it's interesting as things unfolded. So hear this prayer and pray with me. Just and merciful God, we give you thanks for our sisters and brothers, our bishops, pastors, deacons, people of God, who today will walk the way of the cross in Charlottesville, Virginia. On this day and in that place, they join other courageous and faithful people across time and space to stand against bigotry, hatred, and violence, to stand with those who are intended victims, and to stand for justice and mercy, peace and equality for all people. We stand with them in prayer, asking you to empower them, protect them, and use their witness as hopeful sign of your resurrection reign afoot in your beloved and troubled world. By your might, break the bondage that bigotry, hatred, and violence impose on their victims and their perpetrators. May your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. And we pray, empower us in our own communities to follow their lead as fellow servants to your dream of a community in which all people and their gifts are welcomed and honored, cherished and celebrated as beloved children of a just, merciful, and loving God, through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the life of the world. Amen. Well, two things stand out in that prayer to me. First of all, that person prays longer than I do. But second of all, it stands out to me that we are always called to stand up for justice and hope. But it isn't always easy as it unfolded. Yeah, the events in Charlottesville seemed to overshadow everything that I had prepared for my message. But you know, our scripture today actually fits perfectly. Peter stepping out into the raging storm, trying to trust Jesus, and failed to be as strong as he thought he was. Well, that sounds like something that resonates with today. The theme of this sermon series is the story of you. It's not Peter. It's the story of you. It's not Charlottesville, Virginia. It's the story of you. But I think when we look at this story of Peter, the rock that on this day sank, we can find how it is a story about you. Well, let's first remember that Peter didn't actually sink, and that's pretty important to this story, because there was that moment where Peter loses faith. He's fearful. He was walking on water for a moment. I mean, not too many of us can say that without some help. But he started to sink, and in that moment, Christ lifted Peter up. Well, this becomes the story of you, because we tell this story over and over again for a reason. Because we can relate to Peter here. We believe in a God that will never abandon you, but we also know our own stories. They told this story long ago because they looked up to Peter. They found him to be one that they could hold on to as somebody who, well, he was their rock. And they found him falling short. They told this story because each of them had experienced not being enough, I suspect. And they knew their children also needed to hear this story to know that sometimes you won't feel like you are enough, but that's okay. And it doesn't mean you can't face the storm. They told this story not for its heroic nature, but for its raw and vulnerable truth, that in order to follow Jesus, there will be days where the storm will scare the heck out of you, so much so that you won't want to get out of the boat. Yesterday, Charlottesville made me weep. When I watched the news, when I watched those stories, I just started crying. But you know what else it made me want to do? It wanted me to not step out into the storm even more. There was a little part of me that wanted to numb myself to all of the pain, turn on a Netflix movie, shut the doors, turn off the news, and not be a part of it at all. That's what I wanted to do, to rest safely in my boat. But yesterday, and I'm sure today in Charlottesville, there are people like Peter still saying, I think I'm called to step out into the storm. I think I need to be the peacemaker. I think I need to stand up for justice. There are people who are saying that. And there are other people who are wondering if they're going to be able to stay afloat today as they step into the storm. I saw peaceful protests turn violent. I saw hatred and bigotry. I saw pain and suffering. And I got to admit, when I saw that, Lord have mercy, I did not feel Christ's presence the way I wanted to. When I turned on the news, I know Jesus was there. But I guess I felt like the disciples and Peter in that moment saying, Lord, help me. And isn't that the raw and vulnerable truth that we all face, that we all have to come to grips with, that we all have to own as people of God too, that in the midst of the storm, we have to admit to each other we are still scared, and that we step out much better when the waters are calm. But when they rage, many of us lose our will altogether. See, this is not the good news. Not this part. This is not where we want the story to leave us, and it doesn't. But so often, this is the story of you and the story of me, and indeed the story of our Christian church. If you catch us on any given day, you can say, wow, not so great. Not today. Imperfect, broken, fully comfortable in the boat. Or when we step out fully flailing in the sea. Okay, stop the message for just a moment. Teaching moment. What's this room called? Anyone? Sanctuary. We call it a sanctuary, but actually, we've kind of oversimplified that. Did you know? Teaching moment. See, don't stop calling it the sanctuary. I'm teaching you the because we don't want to change what we've called it. This area right here is actually the sanctuary. This is the sanctuary. This room here has a different name. What's it called? Anybody? Nave. The nave. Anybody happen to know what nave means in Latin? Ship. Navy kind of gives it away. Okay, that's my teaching moment. Do you think that's not a coincidence? This is the nave, this is the ship. Let's think about that for just a moment. What do you think the early Christian church was up to naming this room the nave? Do you think it had anything to do with the story? I think it did. We're in this boat together. But we are called to step out into the storms. This story is a reminder to the Christian church. This story that we read, the gospel today, a reminder that our world's scary. And we are called to get out of the boat. And we won't always like it. And we won't always know what to do. And it's easier to stay inside. And we know Christ can walk on water, but we aren't so sure about ourselves. But I'll tell you what. The one part of this story that I'm reminded is beautiful, that the disciples were saying, I wonder on this whole story if there was a part of them that looked at the story and said, I always thought Peter could walk on water. And there are days that I thought he could. But I'm also reminded that he needs Jesus too. It's not a bad message for every disciple. We know that God is all-powerful, but we struggle with the idea of taking up our cross and following, and we look to someone else to do it. We have those heroes in our own life, in our own faith that we look to. They need God's help too. The good news today is that when we are crying, when we weep, God loves us. When we are scared, when we are frozen, God loves us. And when we are empowered, emboldened to step out of the boat, God loves us and God says, come. And the good news is that in this church, though I am scared, I see people getting out of the boat. Though I am scared, I see people walking in the midst of the storms. And though I am scared, I see God reaching out to us. As we continue to explore the story of you, I think we have to constantly be looking at just this question for ourselves. I think the disciples long ago knew it too when they called this the nave. It's a reminder we always have to be asking ourselves, are we getting out of the boat enough? Or are we frozen? And we also have to ask ourselves, are we being too hard on ourselves and our failures? Or are we celebrating those moments when we indeed are walking on water? And finally, I think we constantly need to pray as we rebuild this building, helping our insides to be polished and clean, reminding ourselves that we are called not to be a sign for ourselves, but to be a sign of God's presence to others. And so in closing, I'd like to share a prayer. So let us, the Lord be with you. Gracious God, here in this place, your light is streaming upon us. Your amazing grace is with us. We pray, Lord, that you help this grace that has been shared with us to be reflected through us. Make us a sign of your presence in our world that desperately needs those signs. Help us to reach out to those who need to hear words of justice, who need to hear words of hope, who need to know that they are not alone. Help us to stand against hate and bigotry. Help us to stand holding our cross. Amen. We join together.